Good morning. We're glad you're here today. I should have my guitar, but I don't. Life is an adventure. Let's see if I got some sound. I think we're still on. Welcome this chilly morning. I understand that some of you had some 20-degree weather. Ours was 34 or something like that, but it still was cold. And you get to see some ice on your car and enjoy. I was telling somebody that I sleep a lot better when it's cold instead of when it's warm. But at the same time, I know that being a California boy, my hands don't warm up until it's 80 degrees. So I just told somebody this morning, I said, my hands are going to be cold until next summer. You know, unless I put them on Jackie's back or something. Be appropriate. Well, the reason why I'm up here today is we get to trust the Lord always, and sometimes we don't know what that looks like. I got a call from Matt, who is leading worship this morning, and he has no voice. And he said, hey, can you have somebody who would cover for me? And I said, I'll check. So I checked with Kristen, and you know, she's been faithful and covering, and she's serving on another worship team this morning. And then I called somebody else, and they were working today. And so I just, you know, I could pray for the miraculous gift of music, and God says, no, Scott, we don't want you to play the guitar this morning, because first of all, you don't know how. You know, you can play the piano, but no, you don't know how to do that either. So we just say, God, we trust you. You know, I think part of it, that when things happen like this, it's just new opportunities to trust the Lord. And so I just want to be led by the Spirit. I hope I'm always led by the Spirit. But I just think about opportunities that we have to trust the Lord. And I know that our online folks that have joined us may join us for worship time. Or may join us during a message time. But I just want to be able to have an opportunity for people to share a testimony of what God is doing in their life. And I know that it sometimes things work better when you know ahead of time, and sometimes things work better when you don't know what's coming. And so I just share it, just not sure, but I know there's some testimonies here of what God's doing. And for me, I know that's always encouraging. To hear what God's doing in people's lives. So I just open it up. Is there somebody here who's, as you come in and Scott surprises you and says, well, I'm going to invite you to come up front, because it allows our online audience to see who you are. And if you're really shy, I'll take the microphone to where you are. But if you want to come up and join me, I'd appreciate it. Or if you're really shy, you can just raise your hand and share it from where you are. But what I'm asking is, how have you seen God work in your lives lately? That you're like, oh my goodness, this is how God is showing himself. Give you some time. Come on up, Maxine. You can take your face covering off to talk. Come on up.
Hello. One thing I was just thinking is never give up. Sometimes we pray for a long time about stuff. And I just had a victory last Sunday morning that I've been waiting for 20 years for the Lord to set that right in my heart. And it wasn't that I wasn't willing. Well, I just couldn't seem to do it. But I'm excited that, and even after 50 years of marriage, the Lord is still doing things. He's always doing things. And one thing Pastor Scott has always told us is there's always a backstory. We don't know what it is. We don't know how God's going to work it out, but we just know that he will. And so I just encourage you, if you've been praying about something for a long time, that you just keep hanging in there. Because there is the Lord's timing, and he knows best. So I just want to praise him this morning for all he's doing in my life. He has been very busy, and I thank him for it.
Thank you. And we can tell the Lord has been busy, Maxine, because of the great things that God is doing and the influence you have and loving people. That's awesome. Somebody else, something that God's doing, a testimony about what's going on in your life and your heart this year, that you're like, you know what, this is what God's doing.
Yeah, it was just a testimony for healing. I've been struggling with eye problems for the last 3 months, and my eye was completely swollen shut. I've been to multiple specialists, actually 8 different doctors, and none of them could figure it out. Everything from brain scans to tons of blood work and all this and that, and everything coming back totally normal. And it wasn't until I was able to just hand it to the Lord, and through some friendship and word of mouth, got us back into the church. And from the day of being faithful and handing it up to the Lord, it's literally been healing day after day, more and more every single day since we've went there. So it's been really something.
I know a little bit about this story. Oh, there we go. I know a little bit about this story. And Matt, I know that you've been dealing with this for about 3 months.
Yeah, 3 months now.
With no result.
Zero result. It literally had gotten worse and worse to the point where parts of my eye were actually hanging out, and the entire white of my eye was blood, and my eyelids were swollen completely shut just on one side. And like I said, they just, from doctor to doctor all the way up to OHSU, and they're just shrugging their shoulders with no idea as to what is going on with it.
And in addition, it's impacted your vision.
Absolutely, yeah. Double vision, to the point where I couldn't see very well at all. There's so much pressure in that side that it wouldn't move properly with the other eye, so that it was actually offset and couldn't see hardly at all. And still having to go to work with impaired ability to see. So
that sounds like that might be a little unsettling.
Yeah, slightly, yeah. Yeah, so yeah, it was really, you know, I went through times of pretty heavy aggravation with it, and it just times in your life where you think that you have everything under control, you can fix everything. And like I said, it got to the point where I was able just to, you come to a part in your life where you can't, you just have to hand it to the Lord, because there's nothing, nobody else is doing anything for you, or nobody else can figure it out. And that's where the healing started coming from, and both physically and spiritually over this.
Yeah, I love what you had shared, that you went and had a doctor appointment, and you went in to the doctor's office, and tell me what he said to you.
So they tried me on a bunch of different medication, and I had been on some steroid eye drops for quite some time to no avail. And I had went back to the one specialist after I came back for the first time here, and it had started getting better immediately. Like I said, the first day that we came back here, the next morning it started getting better without any new medication or anything. And it was probably 3 days later that I went to go see that specialist, and he was like, "Wow, what are you doing different? What did you change?" I told him, "Oh, we went to church." You know, and he got a kick out of that. He's like, "We'll keep going to church." "Oh, I will do." And so yeah, it was pretty neat.
And I think like what you said, it's just we can be feel like we're really in control of our life, and we can figure out how to do this, and we can figure out how to do that, and then there's things that happen that we realize that we're not in control.
Absolutely.
There is nothing we can do, and it's crazy how what those things are that happen in each of our lives that are different, that cause us to say, you know, hands up, I give up.
Yep.
God.
Absolutely. And there's like I was telling Scott, there's a inner peace in that. You know, when you get to the point where you've been vigilant enough and you've done all your appointments and you've done everything, and then there's a point where you got to hand it to the Lord and just have faith and peace in your heart that it's going to be fixed. And that's where the healing starts.
Oh, we just praise the Lord. We just thank you. Thanks the Lord so much for the healing that he's doing.
Absolutely.
And you just talked about it being, it's not just physical.
Absolutely.
But it's spiritual too.
Absolutely.
And your wife and your two awesome
yep.
boys. Lord, we just thank you. Yeah, we praise the Lord.
Thank you.
Thank you, Matt, for sharing that testimony, for sharing just the challenge. We get to see we get to see the process of God's healing, the process of what God's doing, not just the end story, but really to see what's going on in the middle of all of it. And I It's really cool. Thank you, Matt, for sharing that. Somebody else, how do you see God working? What is something that you've become aware of lately that you've seen that's impacted your walk with the Lord, your awareness? If you somebody else want to share. Pat.
Is Jackie close at hand? Is she? Jackie, we want you to. You guys, we're talking about what the Lord has done. And this month is Pastor Appreciation Month. And we as a congregation have come together to give you a gift. Because we love you guys. Here, Jackie, come on over here. And you're talking about ways the Lord has brought to mind. And you guys don't realize how much you two impact each one of us. Amen. You love us just where we're at. You overlook our imperfections and when we do stupid things. And I think everybody that comes to this church feels that love and acceptance. And you have taught us to treat each other that way. And God has used you in amazing ways in our lives. And, I mean, every week I come to church. You've been here for, what, 6.5 years?
7 years in January.
Yeah, this coming January. And from day one, you have loved us. And, you know, I'm just seeing how I have felt. And Maxine's graciously shared how she feels. And I don't know if you have time today since you're asking. Can you have somebody else share how you have impacted their lives? Because God has used you both in our life. And you have challenged me in ways that I need challenged to help my faith grow. And you guys are so loved. And we just are so thankful.
Thank you. Thank you. This is a very safe hug. Well, what a very humbling. Very humbling. Thank you so much. I can honestly say that we are different people. If you knew us when we first came in, we were amazing then. But now you didn't think things could get better, but God has used this church to grow Jackie and I. And just become aware, you know, of who God is and His love for us. And always, Jackie and I, we talk, and you've heard me say too, that how we treat each other is a direct reflection of our recognition of how God treats us. And I know that my ability to love my wife better, to love my kids better, really to love you guys better too, is a direct reflection of my understanding of who Jesus is. And who God is and how He loves me in my little tantrums or in my hard-heartedness. And He's still so faithful to not avoid, but to pursue me. And I want to continue to grow in that. And I know that I'm not batting 100, but I want to continue to grow. So thank you for that. Very humbling. And it is encouraging to hear those kind of things. So I invite somebody else, you know, how you've been impacted, maybe just by the church, this church body, or how you've been impacted by friendship in your walk with the Lord, or something that's going on in your life, to come up and share it with the body. This, you want to be encouraged in your walk, is to be around people where they're seeing God work in their lives. This really encourages, because not all of us walk in that every day. What it does, two things. One is we get to celebrate what God's doing in theirs, but also it helps us recognize that, oh my goodness, God did that in my life too. David, did you have something that you see God doing?
Facebook. It could be used for good. And it happened to me. 2 weeks ago, a friend of mine, we kind of gone kind of separate ways, not in a bad way, but just he's had his life and I had mine. And I saw him and he had a need. And he needed, I don't know what you want to call it, I guess like a chaplain kind of like person. And he wanted wanted somebody to come to his well, he has a dojo, I guess that's what they call him, with the karate and all that stuff. And he wanted somebody to pray for his people, his students, and minister to them. And so I came down there. We interviewed a little bit. And the next week, every Wednesday, I'm coming down there and sharing Jesus with his people. And half of them came up to me the first night and say, "Can you pray for me?" And it's like, awesome, sharing Jesus. And I just want to give him all the glory.
Amen. Amen. That's awesome, David. I know a little bit what you're talking about. And to be obedient, to be available, right? And then be obedient when God gives those opportunities. And then you get blown away by how God uses us or what he has in store. So thank you, David, for being obedient. Thank you for being having those awareness of relationship. Somebody else, what is a testimony that God's doing? Come on up, Patrice. Come in and share what it is that you see God working in your life and your heart through friendships, through his word, through circumstances.
As some of you know, I've struggled with a lot of health issues for a long time. One of them is gastrointestinal. And I just would like to share that the prayer team here and Maxine prayed for me for wisdom. And I'm still in the process of gaining healing. There's more of a journey to it. But I learned at least one food sensitivity, and it's helped enormously and made a huge difference in my life. So it's still a good journey, and God is working. So thank you for your prayer.
Amen. Amen. I think sometimes how many of you guys like pain here? Nobody does. And we're like, "Lord, just do something to take this pain away." And sometimes God says, "You know what? There's some things that I'm more interested in a pain-free life. I'm interested in what's going on inside." And sometimes it's in the humility and difficulties that we begin to listen better. You know, I always laugh this. I was about 53 years old when I noticed that my hearing was going. And I'm thinking, that's an old person problem. And maybe you kids think 53 is old. But that's young, I'm telling you. And it was interesting to see as it took me going to the doctor and have them check out, and they did an MRI to make sure there was no tumor on my brain or something that was causing it. And he says, "No, just the luck of the draw. You're losing your hearing." And he told me I needed a hearing aid. And I was like, "You know what? I am not ready for that." And for a year, I would not go and fill that prescription. And meanwhile, the TV is getting louder and louder. And my wife was having to repeat herself. And I finally went and got my first hearing aid, and then a few years later had to get a second one. But it's so fascinating to me how I feel like even though my physical hearing is not what it was, my spiritual hearing has improved. The Lord's helped me be more sensitive. You know, maybe I'm lip reading, but I think I'm spiritual reading. It's like looking in people's eyes and sensing their heart and sensing their spirit of what's going on. And it's weird how something physically messed up, you know, it's kind of like, what would you rather lose, your eyesight or your hearing? And all of us would say, neither, thank you very much. But it's interesting how God can use something difficult, because I've had my ears prayed for. You know, and I've had my hearing, and I'm ready for Jesus to heal it like that. But I also know that if it wasn't for this difficulty, I would not have the empathy I do now for people whose hearing fails, or empathy for people whose eyesight fails. It's those kind of things that difficulties help me think through, well, what is life about? What is this going to derail me, this relationship, this physical problem? Or is God the same? I love, we were talking this morning with somebody else about a verse that we have up on our front wall, and I know online you can't see that side of this sanctuary, but it's Hebrews 13:8. It says that Jesus is the same, what? Yesterday, today, and forever. The same Jesus that walked the earth. The same Jesus that healed people, that led the early church. The same Jesus that was with all those who were persecuted and lost their lives. The same Jesus that was with through the generations. The same Jesus that is working here today by your testimony, by the cool things that you're talking about, and about the things that God continues to grow me in. Somebody else has a testimony about how God's working in their life, in their relationships, in their obedience. Come up and share. These things are encouraging things. I know that's scary things, but it's encouraging things to hear. And I guarantee, you know, God might be talking to you, and you won't. God won't hate you if you don't come up, but He'll love you the same. But it really, as you give a testimony for the goodness that God's showing you, you know, you, and just acknowledge maybe a little thing, it's worship, it's praise. Not only will it lock in some things and that enemy that says, oh, that's not a big deal. Oh, that's really not, you're really not changing, or you're really not getting better. It flies in the face, say, no, Satan, you know, this is real, this is going on. It not only encourages your own faith, but for people to hear it, to say, wow, God is working. God is doing things. He's doing that in my life, too. I've seen that before. Anybody else who would be willing to come up and share, come on up. Tracy, we would love to hear how God is touching you, how He's growing you, how He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If you stand in the middle here, we won't get quite the feedback.
I'm not used to using these things. Can you hear me all right? Or okay.
Hold it close.
Okay. I have had glaucoma for years and years and years. It runs in the family. And I've been on drops and had to see specialists and so forth. And it only gets worse. Glaucoma never gets better because it's caused because the nerve dies. And so I was faced with always having to use these drops and always having these tests to see how much worse it was getting and how much peripheral vision I was losing. And there's one test that they do that measures your peripheral vision to see from one scan to 6 months later, the next scan and so forth, to see how it's deteriorating. And I had gone to a fairly new eye doctor for me. I'd only seen a few times. And I had had the test, and he wanted me to come back in 6 months as usual. And in the meantime, I'd gone to this fellowship that's known for healing. That's one of their big ministries. And I prayed that God would, or I had prayed for me, their prayer team, that God would restore what the glaucoma had taken away. And I went back for my next peripheral vision test then a couple of months later. And it was actually a fraction better. And the eye doctor says, well, he says, we know glaucoma doesn't get better, so we'll just call it stable. And I said, no. I said, I was prayed for. And it shows that there's an improvement. He says, well, if that works for you.
I'd say that works for me. That works for me. Oh, thank you. You know, and that's true, because I think sometimes we need to acknowledge God in all things. You know, whether it's a hard things or good things, but we need to acknowledge small improvements, because There's a kingdom principle, right? If we don't take care of the little we have, God, how's he going to trust us with the big things? You know, if we don't appreciate and are thankful for the little things, how is God going to bless us? He even said, if I can't trust you with earthly things, how in the world am I going to trust you with spiritual things that have way more value than anything that you have right now? And I think that's a praise. I think that we acknowledge that, you know, I'm always talking about relationship, but we laugh about, you know, that was good that I didn't yell at you as loud as I did last time. That's an improvement. Or I didn't yell at you as long, or my anger wasn't as long before I recognized that what I was doing was wrong. That's a win. Because any significant change, anything for good, right? God, our Father of heavenly lights, he is the one who gives good gifts. Every single good thing that comes is from the Lord. Every single good thing. And as you talk about things, is in your week that you have time to relax, to look out the window, that those are precious times. And I know that as an old guy, I might have a few more hours as our kids are out of the house. But whenever that is, whether it's the last thing you do before you pass out in bed and the kids are in bed, or whether it's early in the morning before the noise starts, to take time to look out the window, take time to be still, and just, you know, that old song, you know, count your blessings, name them one by one, is to really think through. Sometimes it's just to start just with creation. It's like the frost on the grass. You know, I was sharing with somebody, I was down in Brownsville, and I always thought Lebanon was the country. Growing up in Southern California, I'm thinking, we live in the country. You know, there's 16,000 people here. But I went down to Brownsville to visit my son, and I looked up and says, man, you got a lot more stars than we do in Lebanon. It was darker. He was out in the way, and I could see the spray of the Milky Way. I said, look at that. Cam, look, there's this Milky Way. He says, Dad, we are in the Milky Way. What do you call that? That's the spray. We live in the Milky Way, but it was beautiful. All the stars, and I have this little phone app that I can put up, and it senses like, well, there's Mars, there's Saturn, there's Jupiter, there's this star, there's this star. I was just like, God, you're amazing. And all those things that are present, there are good things that who God is that are present right now that we can't even see. Just like that, those stars didn't appear in Brownsville. They're here in Lebanon too. But to be able to stop and say, God, would you help me see your beauty? Help me see beauty of relationship. Lord, help me see beauty of your creation. Lord, help me see beauty of your healing. Lord, help me see beauty of how you're changing me. Lord, help me see your beauty of how I'm more reflective than I was before. Lord, help me see your beauty of being able to love people because you love me. Anybody else who would come up and share what God is doing? Sandy, I love that you come and bring Kathy as she's able to come. What a gift, what a gift. Come on up.
Hi. So some of you know that I started a new business this year, a cut flower garden business. And of course, my garden started blooming right when coronavirus started blooming. And it was kind of a scary thing. I mean, it's a scary thing to start a new business anyways, and we had a lot invested in it. And there had been a lot of problems and things even leading up to that. I was struggling with some health issues and struggling with getting certain seeds to germinate. And then just when I thought everything was finally going good, the pandemic struck, and it's just like, Lord, I don't understand. What's, you know, how is this going to work with trying to start a new business? And my husband said, you know, Sandy, God knew this was going to happen, and we're just going to proceed. And So it was really a lesson in just not looking at circumstances and keeping my eyes on the Lord. And I was blown away this year by the response to my business. And most days I was selling out, and it was more than I could even, like, hope for. While I was reading articles about how the floral industry in California was tanking, and I was looking on the Instagram at some different flower farms that I follow all over the United States and Canada, and they were all like having really negative attitudes, and I was like, this is great. And so there was that, and but yet taking it to a deeper level, growing up on the farm, and then I moved away for a long time, and I never thought I would move back. I didn't. And when we came back with the idea of helping take care of my parents, that was just all I had in my head, but God always has other things in mind for us. And so through having my garden at the farm and working it and seeing the beauty that comes and the joy that comes from it, all those things that I never wanted to come back to and the things that I thought were negative and ugly and things that I had rejected, God is really showing me a picture of redemption, that he's redeeming those things and that beauty can come from those things and life can come from those things. And so I know he brought us back to help care for my parents, but I just thank him that he also had purpose in it for me as well. And just being able to see those, that picture of redemption that he provides for us.
Amen. Amen. That is so good. That is so good. I think of the challenges is that to grow in your faith in such a way that problems don't upset you. I think all of us are really good at praising God for his answers. It was like, oh, God is so faithful. This terrible situation, and this is what he did. But what was your attitude in the middle of that? What was my attitude in the middle of that? Years ago, I had heard a sermon about, you know, the glory to glory. That it was, the message was in the two. There's a glory, right? The mountaintop experience where God delivers and life is good. And in the two is in the valley, in the valley of death, where you're fearful and you're wondering what's next. And I just, as I've prayed, I say, God, would you help me be worshiping you in the two? As much as I worship you in the glory of your answers and the glory of your provision, the glory of your growth. I got firsthand experience at walking that out this morning. When I shared with you and I got that text and phone call, and it's like, what in the world am I going to do? And I'm thinking, you know what? I'm still processing. Okay, what am I speaking on this morning? What, you know, who's going to be there? Who's doing sound? What this and that? And I'm thinking, Lord, this is exactly what I get to trust you in, Lord. And as I made phone calls, I was like, oh man, this person's going to be available. Well, and maybe they'll be gracious and we can move on. No, this person. And I even for service, I was back there in the back with Dakota and saying, you know what? God's in control. And I'm speaking the truth, right? My heart's going, oh, I can't believe this. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? And I say, like, God's in control. I know he's got good things. I don't know what this is going to look like. Here we go. And I, as you know, if you were online and then counting down to zero, and my friend Bob had to come and get me and say, hey, service is starting. The worship team ain't playing, buddy. You know, and it's like, run up here and say, okay, Lord, what do you got in store? What do you got in store? I don't know if you sense this, but the testimonies that have come this morning is what God had in store. The good word that God is working in people's lives is what God wanted to do. He says, Scott, you know what? I don't think you'll schedule this in this service quite when I want you to. I'm going to readjust your schedule for you. I call it, for me, the old 2x4 on the head. You know, my hearing's not what it should be sometimes. But I'm just so thankful, too, that it's evidence that God is working in your lives, too. And as you respond, not just in experiencing those changes and challenges, but being willing to come up front and share those things. As I'm telling you, and I've heard some of these, most of these stories, different pieces of them. But I know that this is the kind of thing that builds people's faith to say, okay, this is what it's about. God is doing those things in my life. And I just, you know, we're not, none of us are above it. we get to trust the Lord. I always say there's very few things that we get to choose in life. Most of the time, it's what we get to respond to. How are you going to respond to it? And it's in our response that we get to enjoy the good things that God has to give for us. Maybe it's an attitude. Maybe nothing changes, but our perspective. I remember years ago as Jackie and I were just hammered out and disagreeing, and I just finally said, God, if something's going to change, you're going to have to change me. That was my prayer. Out in the garage and getting away from somebody I had wanted to be mean to. And I, in that moment, I just felt at peace. It's kind of like, you're right, Scott. That's the only way you're going to change. I remember going back in the house, and Jackie said, what happened? And I said, what do you mean, what happened? He says, you're different. I knew that moment, what she sensed was my attitude change, the softness of my heart that wasn't there when I walked out a few minutes before, that God was working. And I still want God to work. You know, just Hebrews talks about the discipline of the Lord is not very fun at the time. But as you look back and he says, but the gift that comes from God's righteousness is wholesome and good. And I think about in that process, the paraphrase of Scott in that discipline is, I hate the process. I hate the process. It's hard work. It's gritty. It's messy. But I love the result. I would never go back. I would never wish my situations on people. But I would never go undo them. I would never not have even had the choice. I would not go back and not have these hard things happen. Because I know it's because of those hard things. It's who I am today. As we allow God, as we look for Him in the midst of that. God's not interested in us having an easy life. God's interested in us in having a good life. A life that has meaning. A life that has purpose. A life that's eternal. That's eternal. Somebody else, a testimony of the goodness of God and how He's impacted you and how you see Him being walked out in your life as He challenges your thinking, as He challenges your attitudes. Through circumstances. You can stand in the middle here, Bob, and hold that mic up close, and we can hear you.
I've shared this with some of you individually, but I think I probably wanted to glorify the Lord a little bit more. Just a little bit of background. I was in the service, not voluntarily, I was drafted, and it was kind of a rough time, but after that, the Lord led me to Bible college and seminary, and then eventually, Pat and I ended up pastoring a small church while I was working part-time and pastoring full-time, you know, just to kind of make ends meet, but We were doing that for a number of years, and we were wondering, you know, what are we going to do when we retire? How are we going to survive? Because we're not putting any funds into retirement from pastoring, and we were not putting very much into retirement from my part-time work. And through God's provision, when it came time to retire, we had enough to retire, but we definitely were not overly and abundantly blessed at that point. But I was dealing with some anxiety issues that stemmed from my service time, and so I've been seeing a counselor, and the counselor said, you know, you really ought to apply for a reevaluation of your disability rating. Really? I said, okay. I wasn't really expecting much, but I went through the motions and filled out all the applications, and within probably about 2 months of the time we turned in the application, I got back a letter that said, just forget it. Yeah. But I felt that, and encouraged by the counselor, you need to appeal this. So I said, okay, I can do that. You know, it's not much extra work. So long story short, it was less than a month after we did the appeal, I got the first thing that surprised me was I noticed in my bank account there was this tremendous new deposit, which was from the VA, and it was a retroactive for the month since I'd initially applied. And so I contacted the County Veteran Service Officer in Albany, and she said, well, I can't give you any details, but yes, there was a decision, and it was definitely favorable to you. I said, okay, that's good. And she said, you'll be getting a letter in the mail, and I got it in about, I don't know, 4 days or something. And I was just blown away. Pat and I were both just overwhelmed by this, because in this reevaluation they boosted my disability compensation by well over $1,000 a month. I said, whoa. Hallelujah. I mean, when you read the in the Bible, it says God's able to do abundantly above and beyond all that we're able to ask or imagine. I mean, any one of you, just think what an extra $1,000 a month coming in, you know, added to what you've got. What a blessing that would be, and we just glorify God for his provision, whereas things had been tight. That's a good way to put it. Yeah, we were getting along, but it was tight, and now that we have this, instead of driving an old clunker, I'm driving a much newer truck. Instead of having to put off projects, things that we really want to get done, we have the funds available to do that. Our washing machine died last week, and instead of having to put it on the credit card, we were able to pay it, buy it, not a brand new one, Craigslist, but we got a replacement, a good quality replacement, paid cash. God is so good, above and beyond all that we can ask or think. And I ask God, well, why? Why are we blessed above other people? He just kind of pointed me back. You remember all the times when you were sacrificing and giving in the ministry? without really being overwhelmed by what are we going to do in the future, how are we going to provide for ourselves, God said, I'm keeping track of that. I was watching, and now I'm blessing. And so, hallelujah.
I think that's important that, you know, because I think we ask the question, it's, is somebody who blessed any better than somebody else who hasn't been blessed in that way? The answer is no. We are all equally in need of a Savior. We're all equally challenged by circumstances. But I think that in the midst of those difficulties, and then the Word says that God keeps a book of remembrance of how we live, of the things that we do, that to me in that too, you know, in that difficult time, to say, you know what, God's going to take care of me. You know, and I said, I know Bob, he is a frugal guy. Sometimes he comes here with stuff and say, Bob, you know that, you're right, that was a really good deal, but we're not going to use that. We're going to use something else. But it's having an attitude like, you know what, I'm not sure what the future is going to look like. I'm going to be wise in today, but I'm going to trust God for my future. And I think that's significant because it's only in trusting God that you get the reward of the faith. Because really, it's not faith at all. If you know that you go and do this thing, that this will result, if you know that that thing will result, that's not faith. Faith says, you know what? I don't know how in the world God's going to do this. I don't know what it's going to look like. In fact, I'm going to worship God anyways, right? Job, my hero of the Old Testament, says, though the Lord slay me, though he kill me, I'm going to worship him. I'm going to love him. I'm going to serve him. It doesn't matter what comes. Or, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and to bed we go. That story that you tell your kids about the three young men who got thrown in the fiery furnace. They said, God is what? Able. He can save us from this fiery furnace. But then what did they say? But if not, we will not bend our knee to another. That's a place that we have to walk out our faith. And in that moment, whatever it is for you, that difficult moment that you come to, that you don't know how things are going to work out, what are you going to rely on your own ability to figure stuff out? Or are you going to rely on the Lord? Say, God, I'm not sure how this is going to work out, but I trust you, Lord. And whatever good comes, I'm going to give you praise. I'm going to give you honor. I'm going to give you glory. Somebody else, what is the good things that God is doing in your life? Small or big, they're all big. Anybody else who has something that they would like to share? Jamie.
So we've been brought back to the church through my husband's eye condition, and it was really neat. The very first day back, Pastor Scott was up here, and he was talking about a marriage oneness class, and we've been attending that, and it's just another blessing that God is using throughout, you know, this misfortune, and it's just a reminder that He's got lots of good in store for our marriage, and it's just really neat. I thought it was a really neat thing.
Amen. Thank you, Jamie. Yeah, opportunities, right? If you pray for God, would you show me opportunities? Those things will come up, and then we get to respond to them. Thank you. We love having you guys there, too. That's a lot of fun. Somebody else, what is God doing that you're seeing, that you're responding to, that you can give him honor, you can give him praise for? Anybody else? It's kind of difficult. Why don't you come on up, Jessica? Pat's already shared a couple of times. She's got more. But I want to
Hello. She reminded me of marriage oneness. Awesome class, by the way. Been married for 9 years, and it's not easy. A few years back, I gave my marriage to God, and I told him that he's in control because I couldn't do it. I wanted to change everything, and it wasn't working. But I gave it to God, and then I left it at that. I wasn't doing any work. So now with this marriage oneness class, you know, the questions and the communication that is brought up, I've noticed it bring my and my husband closer. And it is tough, but I'm thankful that God is showing his love and showing me that things might not be okay right now, but they will be because he's in control. And I'm just really glad for that.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for sharing that, because it's true. I think, and I know not everybody here is married or at, you know, or at this time, but it is one of those, any relationship that we work through, whether it's with our kids or boss or friendship, is a place that is revealing about who we are and how we love. And so it is, thank you for sharing, because it's encouraging, because it, you know, I think people look, it's like, oh my gosh, you look so good, you're such a cute couple. And well, you ought to see what happens behind closed doors. You know, there's like, wow, there's some work to be done. There's some hard stuff. So thank you for sharing that. Pat.
Get my hearing aid mixed in with my thing. You know, Bob was sharing, and I want to encourage everybody that no matter where you are in your walk with the Lord, no matter how long you've been a Christian, there's always going to be times that the Lord is going to use bad things to grow you if you allow him to. And I've shared with a few people over the years that it was horrible after Bob got out of the Army. And we had strong emotional problems. But we've been married 51 years now, and the Lord has constantly healed things. Even we had our date night the other night on Wednesday night and had a wonderful time talking. But when we were pastoring, you know, things were bad. I remember not having hardly any food in the house to feed my two kids. For a long time, somebody give us a case of green beans and a case of tuna fish. We lived on that for months. I fixed it any old way you could imagine. And I used to cry out to the Lord, Lord, you know, we're doing this because, you know, we felt this is what you wanted us to do. And it was hard choices. But, you know, I think about all the families that have lost their homes through the fire. They've lost their jobs. And I want to encourage you, let the Lord use this time in your life to teach you deep down, no matter what the circumstances, I am going to be content in whatever state I find myself in. And God has promised if I seek him first, all these things are going to be added to me. There's no guarantee in life. I don't care if you're a Christian or not a Christian. The difference is that God is going to be with you no matter what. And our job is to say, Lord, I'm going to hang on. And Maxine was saying, you never give up. You never give up. And sometimes I had to tell myself, I am not going to give up on the scriptures that I know that are the truth. And that is God will never leave me, never forsake me. And there was always times when it seemed like, I remember that one day I come home, I applied for food stamps because I didn't know what else to do. And there was, of course, no food stamps in the mail. But somebody had brought a box of groceries and set it on my porch. And I tell you, it was like Christmas. The kids were just screaming and yelling because we were so excited for something besides green beans and tuna fish, you know. But the Lord, he is going to be faithful. And I don't care where you're at right now in your walk with the Lord. If you can always remember, and even at times when it's struggling to have enough, you think, enough faith,
God has put a portion of faith in my heart that will never go away. And my job is to allow him to grow that. And I tell you, the benefit has been so well. Yes, do I still have times where, because money's always been a thing that I have trouble with faith. And the Lord has constantly over and over reminded me, Pat, I remember. I remember. And he is remembering for each one of you today what you've gone through, what you are going to go through. And he said, I've got it covered. You just hang in there, honey, and we'll get through this. And there at the end of the road, I've got to keep my eyes. Where's my goal? That is standing before the Father to get that hug and saying, honey, you're home.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to look, just in case, I'm going to share a quick word. Quick. Have you ever heard pastors say that before? Really? But I know that the testimonies are really good. It's important that we share the good news. And I just, you know, as I look, and I wasn't going to share a word until Pat said that, and I realized that the word that God gave me this morning was an appropriate word. And I won't go through all the amazing background and some interesting discoveries in our current culture, but I am going to share the verse that God gave me for this morning to talk about. I talk about God's intention, God's goals, God's purposes. As you know, there is nothing that can block them. There's nothing that can prevent God's purposes except for who? Except for us. We're the only ones that can stop God's good purposes. Not circumstances, not finances, not relationships, not viruses, not wildfires can stop God's purposes. Romans 8:28, right? We've heard that a zillion times, and if you haven't, Romans 8:28, and you can skip ahead, Dakota, and see if we can find it for our online audience as well as those if you don't have your word. It's probably like towards the end of the slides, Romans 8:28, the very first one that comes up, and find that one. There we go. And we know that in all things, God works for good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Sometimes I'm sick of hearing that verse. It's kind of like, oh, that feels a lot better. I'm in the midst of this terrible situation, and you're going to tell me God's going to, that it's all good. It's, you know, don't worry about it. I love... Sometimes if you look at the footnotes in your Bible, those little letters that are by a word, sometimes they refer to other things, but other times they're clarification of what is written down, because it's in the English language, which, as you know, isn't how it was originally written. Old Testament and Aramaic and or Hebrew and the New Testament, Greek primarily. And in that footnote, there's struggles as because language is the interpretation of ideas. You know, and then ideas change, how you communicate ideas changes with culture. Right? We used to say we used to have a good old gay old time. You can't say that anymore. Or hey, you know, do you know where your thongs are? You know, those words change and we laugh about it because like, that doesn't mean that anymore. You know, dude, you're like couple generations back using that word. But as you look at the footnote on that particular verse, Romans 8:28, you'll find some other ways that it said it, and maybe you have memorized it. It as God works together for good who love him and are called according to his purpose. But there's another way that Bible scholars and in particular N.T. Wright, as I read him recently, highlighted a way that he sees that the Apostle Paul, who wrote Romans, in his interpretation, understanding what this, how this, the idea consistent with his word usage? Because that they look, how does this same guy, author, use this word in this place? How is it consistent with the idea in this second way? Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things God works together with those who love him to bring about what is good, with those who have been called according to his purpose. God doesn't work in isolation. I mean, really, if he could, would you, like back in the beginning when Adam and Eve sinned, or different circumstances, man, you just like wipe this out. And we see a picture of that when Noah, the flood came. There was a reboot of the whole world and in ways we don't understand, of just the environment and the way the world is set up, but sin still came back. Even though Noah was the most righteous man in all of the earth, sin still got passed on to his boys. And from his boys, we have his kids, we have the rest of, and their wives, we have the rest of culture as we see it today. But God still chooses to work in and through relationships. You know, just all of us are here. Every single one of us is here in this building because of relationship. There isn't one person that I'm aware of that's in this building that isn't here because that is here because of somebody they know. That's why, because God doesn't work in isolation. He could get you out of bed. And I know you wish that, you know, for you parents of teenagers, wish God would just do that. Lift your kid up and set him in school or set him dressed. But God works through fallible, imperfect human beings, as amazing as that is. And I love the way this talks about Romans 8:28. God works together with. He doesn't do it for us, although some of us sit around waiting for God to do it for us, and we wish he would do it for us because we don't like the pain of it. We don't like the going through it. I wish that God would just like download a sermon every week and my pen and my key, my fingers would just flow like magic over the words. But every week, it is a struggle. But every week, God shows up to work with Scott, with me, as I think through my faith, as I think through his word. God works together with believers, with people who are called by his name, with his children. All those things that you shared were windows as you chose to be obedient, and then you saw a wall. It's like, oh no, where do I go from here? And that in the midst of those difficult situations, God gave you revelation of where you needed to step out in faith, where you needed to respond to an invitation, what you needed to do to grow your faith. And then keeping in mind that goal is what? To bring about good. To bring about good in all these situations. You know, this coronavirus has run havoc on our economy, run havoc on marriages, run havoc on education, run havoc on economy, run havoc on third world countries who are in extreme poverty, were meal to meal before, paycheck, day to day eating, and now what? That are in starvation mode because of the economies that have tanked. What's amazing is that God chooses to work with us even though he doesn't need us. He does it out of love and say, you know what, I care about you. I want you to know my faithfulness and the hugeness of who I am. And it's so fascinating. We talk about all those circumstances as you guys share your testimony this morning, that because you're revealing that God, it changed you as you stepped out in faith. It changed your relationships, changed your perspective. But as you shared that testimony, it changed us. It's like, oh, I get to trust God that way. Or I'm right in the middle of that situation right now. I get to trust you so that I can grow. God is not one-dimensional. Not only does it change us, but it does good for other people as well. As God works in us and through us to accomplish his good will, his good purposes. If you and I don't partner with God, if we don't allow His Holy Spirit that's planted in every single believer, every single person that says, hey, you know what? I'm going to put my faith in you, Jesus. Faith in you, Jesus, to be my righteousness, to be what's right about everything that I'm wrong about. In that moment, you learn what surrendering means. To say, God, I'm going to trust you. I'm going to obey you. Even though this is scary or this is going to cost me, I'm going to trust you. If you and I don't do that, you and I aren't going to see the good that God wants to bring about. Not only will we not see the good, the people that we influence, the people's lives that we touch, they're not going to see the good. Personally, I'm very happy Bob got that extra $1,000 a month. Because I'm the others, man. He bought me lunch the other day. Even though I was like, Bob, here's the money. He's like, no, son, I'm going to take you out to buy you a burger, Carl's Jr. He was like, dude, it's like, whatever you want, Scott. I'm going to buy it for you. I'm like, hey, woo-woo. I'm happy Bob got that extra money per month. You know, because I got the blessing of that. Not only because Bob, he was cranky before. And now he's like totally easygoing. Just kidding. He's always had good attitude. But it's just those things that as we allow God to work in us, as we see God's redemption, seriously, I hope like you, hope your spirit's encouraged this morning. That God works through the profound, but He works through the simple. That it's God working in and through us. Those are good things that accomplish. It's not stand back, I don't know how God's going to bring anything good out of this. This is messed up. Well, I'll tell you how He's going to bring good out of it. Is when we allow God's Holy Spirit to work in us together. It's an uneven match, just to tell you. God could do it all Himself. God's bringing He's bringing the money to the partnership. He's bringing the brains. He's bringing the ability. And He's allowing us to be on the board with Him. To serve and to come alongside. Okay, God, what are we doing? And He says, Scott, I don't know. What do you think we should do? I said, I don't know, man. There's no worship pastor this morning. There's no worship leader this morning. What do you think we should do, Scott? Man, I think that we got to hear testimonies this morning. You know what, Scott? You step out. I'm going to fire some people up to bring a testimony this morning. You think that was me? That was God, us working together with God to bring good about this morning in a service. I'm thinking, seriously, I'm like, oh man, no worship? Whew, this is going to be a terrible service. And God's saying, you know what, Scott? You're messed up, dude, if you think that worship, somebody singing up front is what makes a good service. You know what makes a good service, Scott? Is me being here. Is what makes a good service. You know what makes a difference? It's me working in and through my kids makes a difference. If you and I don't partner with God, we're going to miss out on the good that He wants to bring. Not only will we miss out, but those around us are going to miss out. Let's pray. Lord, we just thank you. We praise you. We would just worship with you this morning. Woo! Lord, we worship you. God, you are a good God. God, you're an amazing God. We honor you, Lord. We praise you, Father, for your goodness, that you're willing to lay and implant your Holy Spirit in us. Lord, I pray that we would step out and understand you as the ancient one who doesn't change, but is as relevant today as you were at the beginning of time. That you will be as relevant to this next generation, to our kids that are growing up, that they'll understand the hugeness of who you are. Lord, I want to see good. I want to see good brought about in this world. Oh, Lord, this world needs some good. Lord, but it's not just going to happen. I can just pray all I want and say, God, would you bring good? God, would you help people understand? Would you help people see? Because I know that's your purposes. But I need to say, God, you want to use me in that process. Imperfect, sinful, need of redemption, me, whose righteousness doesn't come by my behavior, but comes by my faith in you. And in that process, as I grow my relationship with you, I'm changed. I'm changed. Lord, I pray that for our church. I pray for people today that they were encouraged by the good work, not only as they testified, as they witnessed, as they gave a witness to the goodness of you in their lives, Lord, but other people who didn't share, or maybe are in the midst of their struggle, and they're in the two, and they don't see the light. They're like, the valley of death, man, it's going to take me out. Lord, that there was a glimpse of hope. There was a spark of you that they get to walk through. They get to step up and say, okay, Lord, help me to see that little tiny glimpse of light that I know is good. And it, because it's good, I know it's from you. Lord, to be able to take that next step, say, okay, God, I'm going to trust you in this next hour. I'm going to trust you in this next meal. I'm going to trust you in this next day, in this next conversation. Change us, Lord. Help us to see ways that we get to partner with you, ways that we get to listen to you, ways that we get to see you, Lord, so that not only do we get to receive good, but their whole intention of bringing the church, you gave us a mission to love the world, Lord, that we would be good kids that pay attention, that obey, not because we have to, but because we love you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen. Well, we have some coffee in the back, and I know those testimonies aren't done. I know there's other things, and maybe there's a backstory to what you shared, that you would stick around and maybe go out to lunch with somebody, go grab a burger and sit at a park and hope you got a jacket or somewhere. There's some coffee and there's some pastries all separately wrapped in the back. But as well as online, thank you for joining us today. Go and be thankful and walk and with the Lord. Amen? Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.